Well, thank you for having me back here again today. I said this last week and I'll say it again. I actually do really enjoy coming here. It feels like coming home. So it's always nice to be here and to see you all. The message I have for you today, I took from the second reading, technically the first reading that we heard today, which is the reading in the book of Revelation. Okay? And I've titled my message, Heaven, Our Home. Now, the two things I want us to look at, first of all, I want to look at heaven, and then I want to look at home. And then looking at those two, we'll see how they come together. So first things first is, when we look at the topic of heaven, believe it or not, when you read through the Bible, the subject of heaven is actually not talked about a lot. When it is talked about, it's quite vague, and it's weird language. Sort of spoken in the words of a poet, if you like. So if any of you are really big fans of poetry, or you love song lyrics or anything like that, you would understand that when heaven is described, it's described like a poet describing someone that they're in love with. So Shakespeare would say, "Shall I compare you to a summer's day? Well, you're more lovely and more temperate. You're more beautiful than that." You wouldn't turn around and say, "Was that a summer's day in Melbourne, a summer's day in the Sudan, in the Philippines, or whatever." You would understand that that's lyrical and that he's expressing something. So every time heaven is described in the Bible, it's always, they never tell you what it is, they tell you what it's like. And so when we were reading, listening to the readings in Revelation, what John is seeing, he's telling you what it's like. And so when we come to this idea of heaven, I want you guys to think, what would heaven be like for you? Because every single person who has looked, in terms of the Bible, who has looked into it or seen it through a vision or a dream or something, they see the same thing but different. And what that means is that each person, when they see it, they interpret it differently. So for one thing is, I just want to put you all at ease. Heaven is not an eternal church service, okay? So relax. But when they look into it, they say, it's like this. I saw this. I saw that. It's like this. And the reason I want us to draw our attention to this, because we sometimes think heaven is only important because that's where we go when we die. But the Bible in the New Testament, particularly with Paul, lets you know that you're a citizen of heaven. Okay? That's your identity. You're a citizen of heaven and you're an ambassador on earth. You're sort of here temporarily. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. That's how it's interpreted. That's how they see it. So that's where your position is. You're safe. You're secure. That's your identity. You're a citizen. Paul uses that language a lot because Paul, even though he was a Jew, was a Roman citizen. He could go anywhere in the Roman Empire, and he represented Rome, and you couldn't charge him unless you charged him as a Roman citizen. Okay? And he says that's what our identity is in heaven. So having said all that, I want you guys to take a moment and to think, to imagine, if you saw heaven, what would you see? What would it be like? So for some people, it might be a place that's like a meadow of far green hills and blue skies. And me, it would probably be like a library full of books. But whatever that feeling that's coming to you when you see it, what would be your greatest joy? What would be your greatest delight? That's the kind of idea that's being explained to you, is being told to you. So in this reading in Revelation, what he says here is, it was like a bride prepared and adored for her husband. How many of you are married or have been married? Just put your hand up. Okay. And how many of you have been to a wedding? Put your hand up.
Three times.
All right. So that moment of when the groom is standing at the altar and then the bride appears in her wedding dress, hopefully for people have seen it for the first time, what's the reaction that people have?
Oh,
generally, if it doesn't suck.
Gasp.
Is a gasp. Sometimes the groom will cry. Sometimes the people in attendance will cry. Well, that sort of reaction is what is explained to you here. It's like that adorning where you're just sort of like, this exasperation, this gasp, this excitement, this longing, this joy. And what he goes on to say then is he calls it the tabernacle of God. Now, tabernacle just means tent, okay? It just means to dwell in. That's what the word means. Whenever you hear the word tabernacle, it means to dwell in, like a tent. And it says the tabernacle of God, and he will dwell with them, his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. So that's what it is. That's what it is. So what's that like? And then John will go on to explain to us. And this is a verse that I think if any of you have like a Bible at home that you use, that's your Bible, underline this or highlight it. But it says here, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for all the former things have passed away. That's what it's like. No tears, no sorrow, no crying, no death, no pain, because all the former things have passed away. So, having this in mind now when you think of heaven, I want you to shift your focus and I want you to think about home. Okay? I want you to think about your home. Or a home that you've lived in. And what made it home? What do you do at home? You sleep. You eat. You wash. You go to the toilet. You rest. If you're with someone, you build a life. But your home is, and I mean home and not house. Your home is a place that you retreat to. Okay? So when you go out into the world to do whatever it is that you do, home is where you go back to recharge, to be safe, to get comforted. But what makes your home your home? I don't know if you've ever lost a relative before and you've had to go to their house and clean it out. Has anyone ever had to do that before? Yeah? Doesn't it feel different when you've gone to visit this person in their house when they were alive, and now you're in there that they're gone? It just feels like a stranger's house. It just feels odd. There's something gone. It's unoccupied. It's a building now. So what makes your home, is you. Is the fact that you are there. What makes heaven, heaven, is the fact that God is there. And so what we see then is that these two things come together. Now God is everywhere. I could say God is in this room and have no doubts about that. But if I said you point out to me where he is, you couldn't do so. I can't say he's the chair or anything like that because it's not how that works. But when the Bible talks about that God dwells in heaven, it means that he rests there. That's where his glory is. That's where he manifests himself the most, in that place. So what does that mean for us? Well, if we are citizens of heaven, that's our home. That's our final resting place. What do we do here? Well, the Lord's Prayer tells you, doesn't it? When you pray the Lord's Prayer, what do you pray? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So when I asked you to visualize what heaven would be for you, and then coupling that with what home is for you and what you saw there, and like here it says that there's no tears, He wipes away every tear. No death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. How do you bring that here? Whatever you saw there. Because remember, when Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, he didn't talk about it as somewhere over there. He said the kingdom of heaven was within you. It's not somewhere that you go when you die, it's somewhere that you go to all the time. You're a citizen. No one can change that. If you remember my message last week about the shepherd's voice, remember he said, no one can snatch you out of my hand? Same thing. You are never not a citizen of heaven. That's your home. Whenever you go to pray, you're having a little bit of heaven. When you worship, when you come to church, when you love somebody, when you are loved by somebody, it's a little bit of heaven. The interesting thing is that when you come to understand that, you get to see that throughout all the Bible, throughout all the Christian story, whether it's the Garden of Eden, the Ark of Noah, the Tabernacle, the Temple, or later with the Church, all of these were supposed to reflect heaven. It was built because as heaven was, we're making it here on earth. The meeting place between heaven and earth was supposed to be these places. It was just to reflect that. If you've ever wondered why the altar is here at the front, because that's how it was in the tabernacle. And God would dwell in the holiest, holiest place in that temple. Now, the holiest of holies for us today is within you. Okay, and that's why the cross is so important. So when you come to think about this for yourself, because it is different for everybody else, what comes to mind? And then how do you make that happen here? Being a little heaven to somebody else. Because in the gospel reading, Jesus is going away. He says that to his disciples, I'm leaving you. And they all start to stress. But the last thing he says to them, and it's quite interesting when you read that story, that's the last thing he tells them. You keep reading the rest of John, and he goes to the garden, he prays, and then he gets arrested. He doesn't speak to them again. That's the last thing he tells them. The last thing he says to them is, go and love one another. But not just go and love one another, but go and love one another as I have loved you. So what do we see there? He is heaven come down. And when they've been with him, that's what they've experienced. They've experienced what it was like to be in heaven. And that lifestyle that he's lived with them, he's saying, I want you now to go and share that with everybody else. And if you do that, everybody will know that you are my disciples. You're a citizen of heaven and everybody will see it. You wave the flag of heaven high. Should be something that encourages you. Something that gives you strength. Something that gives you hope. Because that's what we're called to. Small acts of kindness. Moments of love. Imagine, those of you who have children, imagine if for your kids that's what they saw their home as. They knew that when they would come to you, that doesn't matter what happened, they would be okay. Because you're there. I wish I had that in my house growing up. I didn't. I was terrified of my father growing up. But imagine if your kids knew that whatever happened, they made a mistake or they got, you know, things happened, they were stressed, the cares of life became too much. Even if they moved out and they came back to you, they could come to you and they could know that I'll be okay. Because you are that heaven for them. You're that place that's different from anywhere else that they've been. So we pray for this in the Lord's Prayer. Has anyone ever seen the movie The Prince of Egypt? Yeah? Can you put your hand up if you've seen it? It's a Disney film. It's the story of Moses. Okay? Good film. I highly recommend you go and watch it. Way better than the Christian Bale thing. But it's a Val Kilmer voices Moses. So if you want to do a tribute for him, because he passed away like 2 months ago, it's worth a watch. It's on Disney Plus. But it's on the story of Moses. And there's a wonderful song in the movie that is sung by Moses' father-in-law. And it's called Through Heaven's Eyes. And I'll just get up the lyrics because I want to read one of them to you. So he sings this song to Moses and his wife. And he's sort of saying about, the whole song's about, you need to have a perspective from heaven. That's the whole point of the song. But he says this. So how can you see what your life is worth or where your value lies? You can never see through the eyes of man. You must look at your life. Look at your life through heaven's eyes. I'll read it again. So how can you see what your life is worth or where your value lies? You can never see through the eyes of man. You must look at your life. Look at your life through heaven's eyes. So that's an encouragement to us. It's also a challenge to us, because you don't have to be a Billy Graham. You don't have to be the be-all and the end-all. All you have to do is just be a little heaven to somebody. And when life gets too much, go back to that place. Remember the call that Jesus gave to us about going into the secret place. Go into your secret place, he said. Why? Because your Father is waiting for you. And remember, your home is your home because you're there, and heaven is heaven because he's there. So go into your secret place and you come together. Amen.